This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
Like we're all here the third Sunday of Easter. Today we're going to be doing Divine Service 4 from a Lutheran service book, hymn number 895, 587, 547, and 549. The new Divine Service 4 is a little bit simpler liturgy. We have a substitute organist today, Richard Jefferson, and so it'll just be easier on that. Also, today we're going to begin offering an option for communion at the rail. If you at the beginning of communion, if you would like to come to the rail, just come from both sides, come up the center, and then to the right or the left, depending where you're sitting. And then just leave a couple feet between each family unit. So we've been bailing about 10 or so at the rail, but that should work out. And if you prefer, we will, after doing communion at the rail, we'll do continuous communion like we've been doing in the aisle if you're more comfortable with that. So we will continue on page 3 of the bulletin you received on the way in, beginning with confession and absolution, followed by the sharing of peace and the processional hymn. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are forgiven.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us kneel and be seated for the confession of sin. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, with mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us rise and share the peace of the Lord with one another, facing the center aisle, the left hand side. The peace of the Lord be with you always. In the pulpit side, the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people rescue from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness, and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reading of our lessons from God's Holy Word.
Today's first reading is from Acts chapter 3. While the lame man who was now healed clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's and astounded them. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us? As though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets long ago. This is the Lord of our heart.
Thanks be to God. Christ is risen from the dead.
God the Father has come to you with glory and honor.
He has given him dominion over the works of his hands.
He has put all things under his feet.
The epistle reading is from 1 John chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will, he has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, and he is righteous. This is
we rise for the singing of the Alleluia verse.
According to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, and he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated with the children. We continue with the sermon hymn, "I Know My Faith Is Founded," on page 8.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the year 1414, Jan Hus, a Czech priest, theologian, and philosopher, was summoned to the church council in Constance, which is in modern-day southwestern Germany. Hus believed in the authority of Scripture alone, and he had opposed a couple of different popes on various issues, including the selling of church offices and the selling of indulgences. He had been excommunicated but continued to preach and teach. Hus was promised safe passage to and from the church council, and so he traveled from Prague to Constance in order to help put an end to dissension in the church. Hus arrived on November the 3rd, and on November the 28th, he was imprisoned after church authorities claimed that promises made to heretics do not need to be kept. Hus is urged to recant his writings, but he asked to be shown his error from the scriptures. The following summer, he is condemned to death, and on July the 6th, 1415, he is tied and chained to a stake and burned as a heretic. Before lighting the fire, Hus is asked to once more recant his teachings, and he replies, "God is my witness that the things charged against me I never preached. In the same truth of the gospel which I have written, taught, and preached, drawing upon the sayings and the positions of the holy doctors, I am ready to die today." The fire is lit, and before he dies, Hus is reported to have said, "What I have taught with my lips, I seal with my blood. You are now going to burn a goose, but in a century you will have a swan which you can neither roast nor boil." Now the name Hus in Czech literally means goose. His ashes were later thrown in the Rhine River to prevent his followers from having a place to venerate his grave. So 100 years later, Martin Luther is coming onto the scene to continue what Hus has begun. Luther is often called the swan of the Reformation. 500 years ago, today, Martin Luther is summoned to the Imperial Diet in the city of Worms in Germany, in Western Germany, 322 miles from Wittenberg. Luther is promised safe passage to and from the Diet of Worms, but Luther knows about the promise to Jan Hus and how well these promises are honored. And so 500 years to go today, April the 17th, 1521, Luther faces Johann von Eck, who is the presiding officer of the Diet, speaking on behalf of the Emperor Charles V. Luther is asked to recant his 25 publications. It's a tense moment. Failure to recant likely means being burned alive. On the afternoon of April 17th, Luther asks for more time to prepare a proper answer. And after a long night of prayer and preparation, at 4 p.m. on the 18th of April, Luther appears again before the assembly. He notes that his writings are of different types. First, there's works which were well received, even by his enemies, those he would not reject. Second, there are books which attack the abuses, lies, desolations of the Christian world and the papacy. These, Luther believed, could not be safely rejected without encouraging the abuses to continue. To retract them would be to open the door to further oppression. He said, "If I now recant these, then I would be doing nothing but strengthening tyranny." Third, there are attacks on individuals. Luther apologized for the harsh tone of these writings, but did not reject the substance of what he taught in them. If he could be shown by Scripture that his writings were in error, Luther continued, he would reject them. And Luther concluded by saying, "Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the Scriptures, or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in the Pope or in councils alone, since it's well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves. I am bound by the Scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. I cannot do otherwise. Here I stand. May God help me. Amen. The Pope declared that a believer could buy an indulgence to pay off the penalty for their sin, and the Vatican was making big money selling indulgences. Luther asked that the practice be defended from Scripture and not papal authority. Jan Hus stood on Scripture alone. Martin Luther stood on Scripture alone. The true Christian church today stands on Scripture alone. The Bible is our only source of knowledge of salvation. We don't add to it. We don't subtract from it. It's through the words of Scripture that you know that Jesus is God in flesh, who suffered and died to pay for your sins and rose from the dead to conquer death forever. The Bible teaches that Jesus forgives your sins. And you would think that after 600 years after Jan Hus and 500 years after Martin Luther, we would not still be fighting the battle for Scripture alone. But we are. The battle continues. The Roman Catholic Church still holds that the Pope is infallible when he speaks from the throne of St. Peter. Teachings that are not in the Bible are declared to be dogma that you must believe in order to be a Christian. Many false religions have sprung up over the centuries, many, many of them in America over the last 200 years. People declare they have a new revelation from God. They declare there's a new scripture that is equal to or replaces the Bible. The Muslims, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Scientists, Scientologists, and so many others. We see their errors fairly clearly. There's a more insidious threat that's been making its way into Christian churches over the last 100 years or so. Something that is taking the place of the Holy Bible as the authority. We live in an age where more and more our ultimate authority is our feelings. We want to disregard the authority of the Bible, and we want to be an authority unto ourselves. We want to follow our feelings. We want to make up our own theology and our own morality based on our own understandings and desires. There is a growing movement to ignore scriptural guidance and trust your intuition, your inner feelings, your desires. People do this regards to sexual morality, abortion, greed, anger, hatred, laziness. I know the Bible says this, but I feel like I know better, so I'll do things my way. There's a great desire to get rid of Scripture alone. Make a new God for yourself of your own design that will do whatever you want him to do. In the face of this ongoing movement to reject the Bible, we continue what Jesus started with his disciples and what Jan Hus and Martin Luther restarted. We hold to Scripture alone, and we bring that message to the world. Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem." May God grant us the courage to continue to proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in the face of a world of people that can want to continue to reject the Bible and follow their feelings. May God grant us the strength to stand on Scripture alone with Jan Hus and Martin Luther and so many others who have risked their lives for the truth of God's Word. Now, Martin Luther actactually does get out of Worms. He's then quickly kidnapped by his own prince and held in protective custody for nearly a year at the Wartburg Castle in Eisenach, Germany. The emperor issues an order to basically have Luther captured, dead or alive, and so Luther then begins translating the Bible into German for the common people. That's a capital offense, but he already has one death sentence, so what's one more? Luther helps bring the Word of God into the language of the people. How blessed we are to have the Bible in our own language. What a great treasure to be able to read about Jesus saving all people from their sins. Read about how Jesus saves you from your sins. What a tremendous blessing to know Jesus rose from the dead like he said he would. To know that Jesus conquered death for you. To know that in Christ Jesus, you have eternal life. There is a great temptation to add to the Bible or subtract from the Bible. There's a great temptation to follow your feelings. Resist the temptation. Cling to Scripture alone. Cling to Christ alone, even to death. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
Give peace, Lord, to our homes and enlighten them by Christ's resurrected life.
Let the forgiveness of sins reign among husbands and wives, parents and children. Assure those who live alone that they too are your children, upheld by your right hand. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, preserve our nation and its leaders, especially Joseph, our president, and Michael, our governor. Preserve order and decency in this fallen world by their hands, and restrain the sins and deceptions of the lawless, that we may practice righteousness while awaiting the eternal peace promised in Christ's wounds alone. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, as your Son's wounds brought gladness and peace to the troubled disciples, give your presence and comfort to the troubled in our midst, especially Carolyn, Don, Eileen, Becky, Jenny, Flo, Karen, Jeff, Caitlin, Glenn, Dave, Bob, and Barbara. Comfort those who weep with the blessed joy of Easter morning. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, by your Son's crucifixion, all sins have been blotted out. Send us now the blessed refreshment of his bodily presence in the sacrament of the altar, and make us fit partakers in repentance for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things, and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, until we pass through death to the promised land of life eternal. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he is taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.